Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. It's election season again, and we're barraged with politicians proclaiming their own virtues and their opponents' vices. It's an amazing sight to see. It's filled with so many moral, spiritual lessons, particularly how each side redefines and misrepresents positions, values, policies, words. It's as if each party lives in a different universe, each ruled by a different God. And there are really two different worldviews, two different dominions, where in one universe that which is evil is good, and in the other universe that which is good is evil. There are two different moral views because there are two different standards of right and wrong. And I'll discuss that momentarily. But let's start with a quick Bible study to illustrate man's moral confusion. Numbers chapter 16, after Moses leads the Jewish people out of Egypt, the leading men in the families of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram complain because Moses is in charge. Numbers chapter 16, verse 2. And they rose up before Moses, together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" This is called the rebellion of Korah, the leading family of the coup. A few points here. Notice the large number that opposed Moses and his leadership. 250 men of renown. And why do you suppose they had a problem with Moses? Most likely because they wanted the power for themselves. They might have been totally fine with Moses' policy, but they wanted the position. But almost in most cases, there is also a dislike for the policy. And we can be sure that at this time, there were those who weren't very Jehovah God-centered. And they would have certainly complained about Moses setting up in Israel a very conservative moral government. Why do political parties and candidates dislike their opponents? It's just because of that. Power and policy. The Democrats hate Trump because he took power away from them. In the 2016 election, the Democrats had offices in Washington all set up for their appointees. Organizations were ready to receive grants from the Democrats in power. In their minds, it was a sure thing that Hillary was going to win. Then Trump won and surprised everyone, and the Democrats went home unemployed. So regardless of Trump's policies, he's the enemy because they want the power. But additionally, it's also about Trump's moral and social policies. The left believes in the religion of abortion, LGBTQ, and cultural Marxism. Now, superficial readers of number 16 might at this point think, hey, the leaders of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram might have a good point. Maybe Israel should be more democratic. Maybe Moses should share the authority. But God chose Moses. And God did miraculous works through Moses. And if it weren't for Moses, these people would still be slaves in Egypt. At the time, the country needed a single leader. Just like in early America, George Washington was in charge until the nation was established. Actually, earlier in Numbers chapter 11, Moses had set up a government by appointing 70 elders to rule with him. And in Numbers chapter 12, we get a picture of Moses' character. He wasn't a demagogue. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who is on the face of the earth. So it's apparent that these 250 leaders had ungodly motives. Godly men would have been much more patient and understanding of the situation. Notice that these men of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had their justifications and reasons. Sin always has an excuse, a rationale. Number 16:3, they said to Moses, All of the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? In other words, we're just as qualified as you, so why shouldn't we also have the authority? They disregard the concept of God's establishment of civil authority and wanted some sort of egalitarianism. They again complained against Moses, claiming, "You have brought us up to die in the wilderness." So they were impugning Moses' motives, insinuating that Moses secretly wanted to destroy the Jewish people, which is a ridiculous accusation. But how's that for a conspiracy theory? They also said, "You want a lord over us. You just want the power." And this is what politicians accuse their opponents of all the time. In his latest speech, this is what Biden accused Trump of doing, wanting the power, not caring for the American people, as if Biden and the Democrats care, and as if they're not interested in the power. You know, there is a legitimate desire for power, and there is an illegitimate desire for power. But to claim a desire for power itself is evil is political sloganeering. So God told Moses to tell all of the Israelites to get away from the tents of these wicked men, the area occupied by these families. Then Moses said, "If these men die a normal death, then you know that the Lord has not sent me. But if these men die supernaturally, then you know that I'm the one called of God to lead Israel." Numbers chapter 16, verse 28, Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all of these deeds, for this is not my doing. If these men die the death of all men, or they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me." So the rest of the tribes backed away from these men. And in Numbers 16, verse 31, as Moses finished speaking all of these words, the ground that was under them, the Korites, split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households, and all of the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into the grave, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. So a large sinkhole opens up and swallows the people of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And we think, wow, that would really be an easy way to discover which party is evil. When they have their convention, the ground opens up and swallows them alive. But what was happening in the inauguration of the Mosaic Covenant was extraordinary miracles to firmly establish God's authority over godless unbelievers, so that there would at least be some respect for God and righteousness in the world. And Israel could be established on the right footing despite the natural fallen state of man. The usual state of affairs is for God to have people live by faith and for people to choose unforced, not simply because God has the bigger stick, so that people wouldn't fake fidelity to God out of mere self-preservation. Deuteronomy 32, God said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation." But that's a whole other lesson. Here's the point I want to get to. After the surviving Israelites see the miraculous demonstration of God's judgment on those who refuse to follow God's program, you would think they would get the message. They would agree that Jehovah is God, that Moses is the man, that the Ten Commandments are the law of God. We better pay attention to what God says. But no, the people were angry. And many of them said to Moses, "You have killed the people of the Lord, the people of Yahweh." That's amazing. Even after seeing the miraculous sign of judgment, these people still sided with Korah, believing that the values and the policies of these rebellious leaders represented the truth, that they were the true followers of God, Yahweh, and Moses was not. You know, just like political activists today will defend all sorts of gross immorality and yet invoke for themselves the name of God. And people will believe them. Obviously, their understanding and their definition of the character of God and the law of God is an error. Same thing happened in Jesus' day. The disciples saw Jesus as the righteous one of God, but the Pharisees believed that Jesus was of Beelzebub, of Satan. For them, Jesus' miracles were a sign that he had demonic powers. Why did they come to that conclusion? Because they had an inside track with God? No, because they didn't like the power that Jesus was getting over the people. And they didn't like his righteous policies because his moral teachings criticized them. Their opposition was to his power and his policy. And as the old saying goes, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. People will hold on to their values and their parties regardless of rational arguments or pragmatic outcomes. Their policies and their party may run the nation into the ground, but they don't care because they have an agenda. They have a certain bias definition of God and God's laws that favor their sin. And if they're wrong, not only does their worldview crumble, but they're guilty of being wrong. And people can't stand having their pride wounded. So there are two groups in every society. For some, the creator God, if he's out there, or even if he's just a force, definitely wants people to practice homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, cultural and economic Marxism. Because this God or this reality is all about affirming man's self-will and man's personal desires. That must be the God who is, because that's what I like, and that's who I think he should be. Now, for others, the creator God wants people to restrain themselves, to fight their sinful nature, and to practice sexual morality. That marriage is between one man and one woman, that God expects us to submit to our gender, to the law of nature and nature's God. God expects us to protect and honor life, and God expects us to enforce economic accountability. No freeloaders. So which is the true God? Which is the real reality? Which is the correct worldview? Remember the old TV show, To Tell the Truth? There were three people on stage claiming to be a certain person, an actor, a scientist, an adventurer, whatever. And the job of the contestants was to ask questions to determine who was the real individual. And the show would close with, will the real individual please stand up? Well, that's what's happening in our world concerning God. We ask the questions, we choose, and someday the real God will stand up. And who we choose reveals our nature and our character, what we want. And that's why God has put us on this stage we call the earth. The biblical accounts, the rebellion of Korah, the Pharisees calling Jesus Beelzebub, the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the story of Cain and Abel, and thousands of other biblical events are recorded to teach and illustrate mankind's moral battle, the moral choice we have before us concerning who will be our God. And one of the things we see in all of these biblical accounts is that this is very polarizing. It's often hard to discern what is the truth unless one is in tune with God. The example of Korah's rebellion illustrates that not only will people choose evil, the darkness, but they will deceive themselves into thinking that it's the light. And this is why the Bible speaks so often about the deception of sin. Ephesians chapter 4, the trickery of men by craftiness and deceitful scheming. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, with all deception of wickedness for those who perish. 2 Peter 2:13, people revel in their deception. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Titus 1:10, there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, and deceivers. Revelation 12:9, Satan is a deceiver who deceives the whole world. The battle would be a whole lot easier if those who are on the side of evil were easily identifiable. If they wore some sort of badge that said, hello, I'm a false teacher. Even those who are on the side of evil and promote evil don't realize it and don't believe it. As Jesus said about the leaders in his day, they're the blind leaders of the blind. I read political articles all the time that claim that politicians on the left know that they're lying. Well, I wish that were true. Then at least they would have some shame and guilt. But the reality is, because they build their ideology on a false worldview, they sincerely believe that their policies are the truth. Oh, they may realize that they're not telling the whole truth when it comes to transgenderism, or the border, or the federal deficit, or where money's being spent. But when you believe that your party policies are righteous, those aren't really considered lies. They're considered hiding the truth from your enemy for the good of the nation. Check out Matthew chapter 23. Jesus' indictment of the Pharisees, they were convinced that they were the party of the righteous, that they were on God's side. And Jesus said to them, when you make one convert, you make him twice the son of hell as yourselves. And this shocked them. Nobody ever talked to them like that before, because they were convinced that they were the party that's on God's side, but they were wrong. Proverbs chapter 14, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Now let's look at a current example of moral confusion. President Biden, in his campaign speech at Valley Forge, this speech is very significant because I believe that everything we'll be hearing in the Democrat campaign for the next 10 months will be a repeating and a restating of the points that Biden made in his Valley Forge speech. It's all there, that the Democrats are for democracy and the Republicans are against democracy, that Trump falsely claimed that there was election fraud, that Trump is disqualified because he instigated an insurrection, and that the Democrats are for abortion rights and LGBTQ and transgender education in the schools. But here's the big takeaway. What we really need to understand about the upcoming Democrat campaign. The theme of Biden's speech was that the Democrat Party is for democracy.
Whether democracy is still America's sacred cause is the most urgent question of our time. And it's what the 2024 election is all about.
And Biden went on to say that as we begin this election year, we must be clear, democracy is on the ballot. Your freedom is on the ballot, unquote. Biden used the word democracy about 30 times in this speech, and this will be the heart of the Democrat campaign.
Freedom, liberty, democracy, American democracy. Is democracy still America's sacred cause? Whether democracy is still America's sacred cause is the most urgent question of our time. He's willing to sacrifice our democracy. And our campaign is about preserving and strengthening our American democracy. It has no place in a democracy, none. Trump's assault on democracy isn't just part of his past, because American democracy had been tested. American democracy had held together. And when Trump had seen weakness in our democracy and continued to talk about it, I saw strength. Who know the truth about Trump on January 6th have abandoned the truth and abandoned the democracy. We'll honor the sacred cause of democracy, not walk away from it. The defense, protection, and preservation of American democracy will remain, as it has been, the central cause of my presidency. We must be clear, democracy is on the ballot. Without democracy, no progress is possible. The alternative to democracy is dictatorship. We've been blessed so long with a strong, stable democracy. Risk their lives and strengthen democracy. Democracy means having the freedom to speak your mind to be who you are, to be who you want to be. Democracy is about being able to bring about peaceful change. Democracy. Democracy is how we've opened the doors of opportunity. But if democracy falls, we'll lose that freedom. To try to destroy our democracy for their own agenda. That America is still viewed as the beacon of democracy for the world. Insurrection placed a dagger at the throat of American democracy since that moment. Freedom, liberty, democracy is still a sacred cause.
The game that's being played here, the excuse for economic and social lawlessness, is the new definition of democracy. The old word democracy is being used, but it's being defined differently. Technically, the term democracy means a rule by the people. A republic means a rule by representatives chosen by the people. When Benjamin Franklin was asked, what kind of government do we have? Franklin said, a republic if you can keep it. And in the Federalist Papers in 1788, written to explain the Constitution, it spoke against the concept of pure democracy in favor of a republic. But technically, a republic is a form of democracy. The people still decide. One can say America is a democracy and still be correct. It's just not a pure democracy. Don't be one of those conservatives who hang people for referring to America as a democracy. Many of our founding fathers called America a democracy. Democracy, freedom, and liberty were words to describe a government based upon popular sovereignty. However, democracy did not mean human will and desire should be the law. People still had the responsibility to decide the law according to the law of nature and nature's God. As in our national hymn, America the Beautiful, thy liberty in law. And in the national anthem, then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And it was assumed that democracy meant the people rule the nation under the law of God. But the new definition of democracy is that people should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. Law is now a function of human autonomy. Democracy is now the philosophy of moral license, that the government should make no laws preventing immoral behavior. Man's will, populism, is now the basis for morality, not the law of God. And the uneducated American citizenship, not understanding the word democracy, believes the word is still being used to describe righteous governance when it's not. And it's really not surprising that the Democrats would campaign on democracy, because the Democrats misused this word in the past. In 1858, Stephen Douglas, the Democrat, debated Abraham Lincoln, the Republican. And Douglas contended that slavery should continue because of democracy, the democratic will of the people. Each state should be able to decide this issue based on the vote. And Abraham Lincoln said, no, appealing to democracy was indifference toward right and wrong. The higher law of God should be the deciding factor for the people and for the government. The appeal to democracy was a smokescreen to promote evil. Does that sound familiar? Even today, the Democrat Party is generally built on the ideological foundation that law is a function of man's desire, and the Republican Party is generally built on the ideological foundation of the law of nature and nature's God. That's why the Republican platform is opposed to abortion, LGBTQ, and Marxism. And because Democrat politicians believe the basis for ethics ought to be the will of man, your moral freedom, that is why they claim they're morally superior to the Republicans. And that the Republicans are bad because the Republicans will not give you your moral license. And the Democrats, because they're logically consistent with what they believe is the basis for ethics, naturally believe that they're right. But that's a deception. Just because you're logically consistent with your moral foundation doesn't mean you're right, because you may be building on the wrong moral foundation. So this is what's happening. The Democrats are campaigning on the promise of democracy, your moral freedom, and the Republicans can then be depicted as oppressors, demagogues, and totalitarians, because they believe in God's law. And the left gets away with this because a large swath of the American public is increasingly coming to believe in moral license, that moral standards are oppression. And this is what's being taught in the universities. I'm old enough to remember when Republicans would campaign on democracy and Democrats would hardly speak the word, because the Democrats were happy with the courts legalizing immoral behavior on the basis of civil liberties, regardless of the public consensus. The Democrats did not want these moral issues to go to a referendum, to a vote of the people, because the electorate was more conservative than the judicial branch. But now that the American citizenship has further embraced cultural Marxism, the Democrats can claim they're for democracy, and they can claim that the decision of the Supreme Court to overturn Roe Wade is undemocratic. So just be aware of this justification for evil. Evil always comes with a justification. And know the game that's being played and now calling Republicans a threat to democracy. Democracy used to mean liberty under law, but now it's being defined as lawlessness, freedom to do your own thing. As Biden said in his Valley Forge speech, quote, "And look at what these autocrats are doing to limit freedom in their countries. They're limiting freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, women's rights, LGBTQ rights. People are going to jail and so much more. Democracy means having the freedom to speak your mind, to be who you are, to be who you want to be," unquote. This is their definition of democracy. So be aware of the game that's being played and warn others about the game that's being played, and tell those who are playing the game that you know the game, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Now, Trump responded to Biden's speech by pointing out that Biden himself is a threat to democracy. And many other conservative pundits made the same point. You've probably heard the Republican response over the past few weeks that Biden is the one who is ignoring the law by not enforcing U.S. immigration law. And Biden violated the Constitution by attacking the Houthi base in Yemen without going to Congress for authorization according to the Constitution, and that Biden has unilaterally erased student debt, ignoring the Constitution that gives that authority to Congress, and that Biden has ignored the recent Supreme Court ruling prohibiting his debt forgiveness, and that Biden and Democrats are trying to twist the law to keep Trump off the ballot. How democratic is that? And Biden and Democrats have lied about January 6th, claiming that a rally to petition Congress to investigate election fraud, a petitioning that is a constitutional First Amendment right, the Democrats are claiming that it was an attempt to overthrow the government. I didn't see any protesters there with guns. None of the J6 protesters were charged with insurrection. It was not only not an insurrection, but by all legal standards, Donald Trump did not direct anyone to walk into the Capitol building. And by the way, in his campaign speech, Biden even said, quote, "Trump is trying to rewrite the facts of January 6th, trying to steal history." That's amazing. Because it's the Democrats who are trying to rewrite history by making January 6th into something it's not, so they can indict Trump. Here is how President Biden closed his speech. And this is such a lesson in projection, a lesson in a lack of self-awareness and examination. Here's the video.
And look at what these autocrats are doing to limit freedom in their countries. They're limiting freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to assemble, women's rights, LGBTQ rights. People are going to jail. So much more. It's true, the push and pull of American history is not a fairy tale. Every stride forward in America is met with ferocious backlash many times from those who fear progress and those who exploit that fear for their own personal gain. From those who traffic in lies told for power and profit. For those who are driven by grievance and grift, consumed by conspiracy and victimhood. From those who seek to bury history and ban books. Does everything could be in a political event, talking about book banning for presidential in the presidential election.
Now, I try to be fair. When I listen to my political opponents, I realize that they're going to claim that their policies are better and they're right. But here we have Biden claiming that his opponents are doing exactly what the Democrats are known for doing. Exploiting fear for personal gain. Trafficking in lies for power and profit. Driven by grievance, conspiracy, and victimhood. The whole CRT, the whole leftist narrative is about victimhood and grievances. How could Biden and his speechwriters be so blind? Trying to take the speck out of their brother's eye when they have a beam in their own eye. Maybe the strategy is what's often pointed out by political pundits, that you accuse your opponent of doing the very thing you're doing just to muddy the waters. Or you accuse your opponent of doing a certain thing before they get around to accusing you of doing it. Here's an interesting article. The Biden Way, Projection and Denial. Quote, by painting opponents as threats to democracy, the political left issues a license to would-be tyrants at all levels of government to silence speech. No one epitomizes this more than President Joe Biden. Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, chronicled various neurotic disorders, including projection and other psychological defense mechanisms. Projection occurs when someone projects their own feelings, motives, and behaviors and thoughts on others. It's a way of coping with one's own insecurity and to blame one's problems on others. The other Freudian concept is denial. That's when someone dismisses external reality and formulates his or her own truth. Both disorders are not only rampant among America's political left, but have become tools in their war on common sense, truth, and decency. Unquote. Good analysis by Robert Knight. Do we find in the biblical accounts that the wicked will often use denial and projection against the righteous? All the time. And then, did you notice that Biden even went on to complain that the Republicans want to ban books? The truth is, conservatives don't believe public school libraries should carry pornography, books that can't even be legally read at school board meetings. But this is the left's fake war on book bans. But even though they're mischaracterizing the situation, in order to smear Republicans as Nazi book burners, they are exposing the fact that they actually support these books in the public schools, and they believe that homosexuality and transgenderism is right and should be taught to children. This is definitely a telltale sign as to where the Democrat Party is morally and spiritually. So what we're seeing in the news is the age-old battle against God. As in the days of Moses, many of the Israelites saw Moses as the bad guy and the rebels of Korah as the good guys. Here's a challenge. You better get into Scripture and get an authority for right and wrong that's outside of yourself. Because natural man is too easily deceived by his own sinful biases and desire for autonomy from God. Thanks for listening. Keep seeking after God and His truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.